welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we are going to go back to the book of Daniel today, chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off on Friday. And our newlyweds are off on their honeymoon, and family is all returning back to where they came from. And so we're going to get back into the swing of things here this week personally. And we're excited about being back to normal. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any concrete work that you need done or any block work, those are the people to call. You want to make sure that you start off your project on the proper foundation. And, you know, that's what our daughter and son-in-law did. They wanted to make sure that they started life off on the proper foundation, and that is on Jesus and on his word. And so we are very, very happy and thrilled for the changes that are coming in their life as they pursue ministry. He's a youth pastor. She's going to be the women's ministry director at the church, and praying for God to open up all of the doors that they need to open up there as far as employment and things of that nature. Daniel chapter 2 today is where we're going to be. We're going to start in verse number 16, just to give you a little bit of background, and then read on down through verse 20. Well, we'll start off reading through verse 23 to start off with. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." If you remember, we were talking about last week how there was an execution order issued for all of the wise men, and Arioch, who was captain of the king's guard, came to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "Got orders to kill you." And Daniel said, "Why?" And, you know, they had that discussion. Daniel ended up going to the king and getting some time. And he comes back to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and says, "We need to seek the mercies of God." Now, I will tell you that I've met people that their next act of mercy will be their first one. I don't generally like being around people who are not merciful. It is, I believe it is contrary to the nature of God. And so here's the thing. If you want to be able to perceive the mercy of God, you've got to be a person of mercy. Okay? We thank God for his mercy. His mercy is us not getting what we do deserve. His mercy is bestowed upon us because God is a God of compassion. What moves him is his compassion for us. And so Daniel said, we need to seek the mercies. We need God to be moved with compassion, because if he does not move with compassion, if he does not show us mercy, we're going to die. And we're not going to be able to fulfill the purpose that we have of bringing the knowledge of God to people who do not know him. Okay? We need to always remember, even when we're in crisis, that this is an evangelism opportunity. This was a long time ago, And when I share this story, please understand that there are people that I have disqualified myself from as well. But this person came to church one day. They had an appointment. It was a personal care appointment. I don't remember if it was haircut, makeup, nails. I don't remember what it was. And something had happened at that appointment, and this person showed up at church and said, boy, I just let that person have it. I mean, I just let them know how upset I was, how frustrated I was. And I don't remember what it was. I think it might've been a haircut. And they were just insisting that they were right in venting. And so when they finished sharing that, I said, were you able to share Jesus with them? Because the truth of the matter is if we are not living mercy, if we are not living the compassion of God, and I'm not talking about a mealy mouth, you don't have any standards or you don't have any expectations. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about when we give vent to our frustrations, our negative feelings, our anger, or our bitterness, what happens is we disqualify ourselves. And like I said, I've done it. I'm not pointing fingers at other people for something that I have also done. I'm just using that as a very real example of not showing mercy and thinking that we're good about doing that. So to give you a little glimpse into my personality, mercy is my primary gifting. I'm an extremely merciful person. If you ever see the dynamic change, and it has, please understand that that was not the first, the second, or the third occurrence of something, but it was, okay, we've shown mercy and we're not getting any different results. Now we've got to move on to exhortation. We've got to move on to correction, or sometimes we just have to move on. But to show mercy to someone is my primary gifting. It's not my only gifting, though. There are people who've known me that they see the easygoing, laid-back mindset, the attitude that I have, and they don't realize that there is a drive, that there is a person with responsibility, there's a person of authority, there's a person with standards. And so whenever that person or part of my personality steps up to the plate, they're like, whoa, what happened? My wife had a boss one time that was trying to cheat her out of her paycheck. And so I went and had a conversation with them. Didn't cuss them out, didn't yell at them or anything like that. I just said, has she ever done this before? And they said, no. Then what makes you think that she did it this time when she's told you that she didn't do it? And they didn't have an answer. And I said, so you are going to, you're going to honor her paycheck. Back in those days, we were living half paycheck to half paycheck. I mean, it was tight. And they said, I thought you were a pastor. Well, I am a pastor. But if, like I tell my congregation, at that point in time, I had three rules. Now I've got four. If you want to see my personality change, mess with my wife, mess with my kids, who were all young at that time, or mess with the church. And the fourth one I've added is also don't mess with my pastor. I've got a pastor, and I don't like it when people mess with him. I will step up and be his armor bearer in a heartbeat, not in a literal sense. I will step in and say, who are you to address my pastor like that? I pray that you all will be very protective of your pastors at church. I mean, it's a high pressure job. It really is. There's a lot of expectations, a lot of different areas of expertise. And so I pray that you will be merciful to your pastor. And if anybody starts gossiping against them, if anybody starts criticizing them or condemning them or undermining their authority, I pray that you'll be the one that steps up and says, you know what, maybe we need to go talk to the pastor about this. And you'll find that most of the time people don't want to go talk to the pastor because they already know that they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. Be merciful. Be merciful. That's the background for where we're going. God is merciful. He shows compassion to Daniel. He gives him the dream. He gives him the interpretation. And Daniel responds by blessing God. You and I had better be thankful people for the mercy of God. Daniel says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Okay? I'm in the past couple of years, I have become more aware of the fact that if the Bible says that God is, or something belongs to God, if God is the only source of that, for instance, God is love, that means that there is no other love source other than him. The only source of love is God. Here, Daniel says that wisdom comes from God. Power, might, dominion, those things come from God. And when we realize that those sources are only available in him, we need to be seeking him for those. He goes on in verse number 21 and he says, and he, God, changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. Okay? He changes the times and the seasons. Why? When Daniel interprets the dream about this is your kingdom, and there's another kingdom coming after you, and there's another kingdom coming after that, and there's another kingdom coming after that. Why? What was all of that about? It was all about setting the world up for the incarnation of Jesus Christ, for Jesus coming in the flesh. Jesus came at the fullness of time, according to Galatians 4:4. So whenever there's a transition, you know that God is setting you up, setting society up, setting the world up for the plan of God for kingdom business to be able to be accomplished. So we do not live by fear. We live in faith. Change is something that nobody really likes. Okay? Now, I shouldn't say that. There are some people who like to come in and change things just for change's sake. Okay? I'm not into that. But I am into changing to become the best me that I can possibly be. Again, the only thing that doesn't change is God. He's not a thing. He's a person. Everything else is in transition for kingdom purposes. Okay, it says at verse 21, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Okay, so there again we see, you know, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure, to the merciful you show yourself merciful. but to those who are crooked, you show yourself shrewd. The person who is wise receives wisdom. Well, where does wisdom begin? Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom comes because we realize that there is no other adequate source of wisdom other than God. If you understand that, you're going to have a greater awareness. You're going to have an ever-increasing knowledge of God because you're going to realize you can't do anything without him. Daniel has the dream and understanding and is given the interpretation to communicate to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, I could have never come up with that on my own. Okay? It's verse number 22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Okay? God knows. God knows. That's a really powerful two-word sentence. God knows. God knows where you came from. God knows the tears that you cry on your pillow at night. God knows how badly you've been treated by other people. Can take that a step further. God knows when you've treated other people badly. God knows the things that you think about. God knows whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or whether it's not. God knows the things that are done in secret. The Bible says that those things done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. When that was written, that was a technological impossibility. When it talks about that there'd be people who would die and the whole world would watch, that was a technological impossibility. And yet now, it can take place in a matter of seconds. You and I are living in one of the greatest seasons of world history that there has ever been. I believe that we are on the brink of Scripture being fulfilled. And so we need to look at this crisis and say, we are not here to preside over the death of the church. We're not here to preside over the death of wisdom. We're here to seek the mercy of God so that he will give us the wisdom, the understanding, the relationship that we can communicate the gospel even to the most powerful people on the planet. God reveals deep and secret things. So, I don't know if I've shared this here on the radio or not. And with that being said, let me tell you, I talk to a lot of people. I talk to some people, and I'm one of the only people that they ever talk to. But I talk to a lot of people, and I share a lot of the same things with the different people that I talk to. And sometimes I share things more than once. So if you've heard me say this before, then just chalk that up to, okay, he doesn't remember he shared this on the radio program. But I've heard other preachers share the same stories over and over again, so I feel like I'm in good company. So one night I was praying in the sanctuary, and God told me, I was there all by myself, and he said, you've got a long ways to go in the compassion area. Now, I feel like I'm a pretty compassionate guy, but when God said that, I wasn't there to verbalize a defense. My response to what God had said was, I'm guilty. God, I need you. I need you to help me to be a more compassionate and merciful individual, because God knows what's going on deep down inside of our heart. Okay, you might be able to fool people but you're not going to be able to fool God. So, I thank, verse number 23, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. So there we see that it's the second time we've heard the king had issued a demand. I want you to understand that where government is limited, they don't have access to certain pieces of information, that the church can step up and say, oh, well, this is what God has to say about that situation. I have found myself avoiding a lot of problems in life simply because I've become better educated on the word. I may not have got it right the first time, but when God showed me mercy and showed me the truth in God's word, he equipped me the second time, and then I was able to communicate that information to other people. Verse number 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. I pray that our society, our community, Brevard County, will be able to find Christians who know how to pray, to seek God for his mercy. When society is looking to destroy wisdom because they are not providing the solutions, I pray that they will find that the church is able to provide those solutions. Then the king answered and said, this is verse number 26, to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. Okay? If you remember when we started in Daniel chapter 2, that was something very similar to what the astrologers, the magicians, and the Chaldeans, the wise men, had to say. And at that point in time, I can just picture in my mind Nebuchadnezzar just kind of putting his head down in his hands and say, here we go again. Somebody who is supposed to give me the answers that I need, and they're telling me they can't do it. But where the previous wise men put a period, Daniel did not stop. Okay? That was the end of their statement. Daniel goes on and he says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. Okay, so I want you to hear what he just told Nebuchadnezzar. We'll get more into the dream at a later time. He said, there is a God in heaven. He did not say there are gods in heaven. He said there is a God in heaven. He has just challenged the polytheistic nature of Babylonian society. He said, not many, just one. There's a God in heaven. And he is made known to you. Now, the fact that there is a God in heaven is a very humbling statement. Okay, every one of us should live with that reality. There's a God, and we are going to give an account to him. Okay, what he says next, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. He also has communicated here that there is a plan that God has in place. And he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, you have a part in that plan, and God has made the plan known to you. Now, that is something that if you're not careful, you can become puffed up. And that's what happens in Daniel chapter 3. When God uses us, it should not be something of our boasting. It should be something that is very humbling. And one of the things that I've always tried to remember is that if God could use Balaam's donkey, he can use me. And I don't know anybody that's going out and saying, hey, look at me, you know, and thinking that they're, look at how I am. I'm the donkey that God wants to use. Okay. He can do anything he wants. He is looking for people who are available. He is looking for people who are humble. He is looking for people who are faithful. He is looking for people who are compassionate. And he says to Nebuchadnezzar, God has made known this to you. Okay? The idea was for Nebuchadnezzar to be humbled and say, you know what, there's something that's coming after me. But instead, he ends up getting filled with pride, and we'll see that later on. He says, he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. Think about that for just a moment. You know, Israel at one point in time had the naive understanding that they could do something underneath a grove of trees, that they could do it at dark. They could go into their room. They could turn out all of the candles. They could shut the windows so that nobody could see what was going on. And they thought that God would not be aware. Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, God knows exactly what is going on in your life, but also he knows the dreams that he's dropped down inside of you. If you've been seeking for the mercy of God and he gives you that, when he gives you the wisdom that you need, thank God for it. But don't stop there. Pass that along to other people who need to know God loves them. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.